Praise the Lord. We have this anointing in this service, and we know that God loves us. And you have to think, oh, are we God's favorite? We feel like God's favorite. How would you like to be God's favorite? That's the title of tonight's teaching. Are you God's favorite? And the subtitle is, would you like to be God's favorite? But the Bible tells us God is no respecter of persons. 7 times in words that are almost like that. God is no respecter of persons. God shows no respect for people. So how can we be his favorite if he's no respecter of persons? If he does not show preferential treatment. Respecter of persons means you treat some people more preferred than others because for some reason you think they are more worthy, that they are better. Like in the family business, nepotism is showing favorite to the family, right? You promote the family and you keep the other ones down. But we're in the family of God. Does he show nepotism? Does he promote his children? The Bible says in Acts 10:34, God is no respecter of persons. And that's when Peter realized that the Spirit of God was available. Salvation was available to all people, regardless of their background, regardless of their nationalities, their races. The Spirit of God was available to them. And I want to take a look at this preferential treatment. God hates preferential treatment. God hates cronyism. He really does hate being a respecter of persons. Let's look in James chapter 2. You don't need to turn there if you don't want to. I can read it to you, but if you're fast on the draw, go for it. James chapter 2. Let's start in verse 1. James 2 verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if they come unto you in your assembly, a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, in other words, this is a fancy dress, and he comes walking in his fancy clothes, right? And there comes a poor man in his holy clothes, which are clothes that are full of holes. So he comes in his holy clothes, and the rich man comes in with all his fancy clothes, and you have respect, preferential treatment to him that wears the gay clothing, the happy clothing. Times change, words change. And you say to this man who is all fancy, decked out, you sit here in this good spot, and you turn to the man with the old clothes, and you say, why don't you just sit here by my footstool? In other words, you put them in a low position. Are you then partial in yourself and have become judges of evil thoughts? Now, let's go on to verse 8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, if you play favorite, if you judge people based on how they look or what they have or where they are or the job they have or any of many miscellaneous things, if you judge them according to that, you commit sin. Really major sin. I know a man who lost his wife because of that sin. It's not uncommon that they want, let's say the person is challenged, in this case with a spouse, the one I'm thinking of, but I can think of another one with a husband. And they are waiting for God to send somebody to heal this person. But they're waiting for, you know, the name that goes across the marquee, a marquee name, right? If some man comes in who is not dressed so well, not known so well, they don't want to receive. Hey, you know Benny Hinn. See, I know about 2 stories come to mind like that. This sin of being a respecter of person just by itself is a tremendously major sin. It is based in judgment and it's based in self-righteousness. And I know a church, it was a tremendous church of faith with many of the famous word and faith ministers ministering there that went all the way downhill because they were respected persons. They got to the point where nobody could speak in the church unless there were marked equality. Don't let it sneak into your life. And it's very easy to sneak in. You know, you go to a church, you go someplace, and people come over and want to hug you. And the guy comes over with nice clothes, smelling good, and you hug him. And somebody comes, clothes aren't so nice, and you can smell them from half a mile away. It's really hard to hug them. Let me tell you, you haven't lived until you hug somebody who smells worse than you do. It's easy to fall into that sin. Now it says, again, verse 9, but if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. That's how serious it is. Don't be a respecter of persons. God is not a respecter of persons, and he doesn't want you to be a respecter of persons. And it's very, very easy to do. I remember I was doing a miracle service. Well, it's happened more than once, but this one that comes to mind is this man came in and came up for prayer, and I looked at the man and says, I don't think this man is going to receive a thing. If it were me, he wouldn't receive a thing. But he came up for prayer, so I prayed for him. And the power of God hit him, and he fell on the floor. He was down for a long time. When he got up, he was totally healed of two challenges that he had for 40 years. Pastor Karen was talking about frozen neck, that she couldn't turn except this way. The guy was the same way. He couldn't turn this way, but he also couldn't do this way. His head was kind of frozen like that. Had not raised his arms above his shoulders for 30 or 40 years. We have video of him and the wife crying. But if it had been up to me, if I were God, wouldn't have got anything. Because I looked at this man and I said, this man, it doesn't look to me like he's ready to receive. This man doesn't look like he's full of the joy of the Lord. This man, I don't want to turn my back on him in a dark night. And you know, I was right, probably right in all those things. Because this man later turned around, he said, for 2 months he was the happiest person around. Brought his family in to get prayed for, and then 2 months later, he said, when he went down under the power of the Spirit and was down there and got these two major healings, that when he fell down under the Spirit, he hurt his back and sued me for $1.3 million. So my analysis in the natural was correct. But we don't judge based on those things because we don't know their hearts. And thank God that God's heart is a lot better than mine, and the man got healed. And thank God he turned it around. And I didn't have to pay the man a dime. Praise God. We don't want to be respected persons. But if we don't want to be respected persons, how come we want to be God's favorite? I want to be God's favorite. In fact, if we don't want to be respected of persons, if God is no respecter of persons, how come he says he loves Jesus? Jesus is Son of God. He's also Son of Man. Jesus called himself Son of Man 85 times. He only referred to himself as Son of God 5 times. 4 times he referred to himself as Son of God, and 1 time he agreed with somebody who called him Son of God. So God is looking at us, man, Son of Man, and saying, I love him. That sounds like favoritism to me. And then he says, I love you as much as I love Jesus. God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. That sounds like favoritism to me. And then he said, all I have belongs to Jesus. And you are joint heirs with Jesus. Romans 8:17. You're joint heirs with Jesus. Everything that Jesus has belongs to you. That's the word of God. We believe we're going to heaven because we believe the word of God. But the same word of God says, everything that God has belongs to Jesus. And everything that Jesus has, you're joint heir, you own it. And you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. And in all these things, you're more than a conqueror. Wow, sounds like a lot of favoritism to me. How do we reconcile those two perspectives? God is not a respecter of persons, but some get healed and some don't. God is not a respecter of persons, but some go to hell and some go to heaven. Some he loves. Joshua, he loved and said, go kill all those people in Jericho. Sounds like a lot of favoritism to me. How do we reconcile it? It's important to know how to reconcile it. Because when we understand that God doesn't break his word, and when the Bible says God doesn't play a favorite, that's true. He doesn't play a favorite. But the point is, many are called, but few are chosen. Everybody's called to be his favorite, but only a few accept. Why is that? Oh, cares of the world, challenges of life, past trauma, wealth of the world, system of mammon. Oh, there are a million reasons why people don't accept the calling. Why don't we all accept more of the calling? Everybody here has accepted at least the first step of the calling. Actually, people here have accepted more than the first step. We all accepted the calling. We all became born again. We all accepted the word of God. And we confessed with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. And we believed in our heart that God rose him from the dead. And we are saved. And we moved from the family of the devil into the family of God. And we moved into that position that we chose to be his favorites. As opposed to ones who chose not to be his favorites, the one who chose to be in the family of darkness, we chose to move into the family of being his favorite. But many of us, having gone into the family of the favorite, having gone into that position where we can be God's favorite, we stopped there. We stopped growing. See, we made the choice. Many are called, but few are chosen. The ones who are chosen are the ones who accepted the word of God and made the choice. Joshua accepted the word of God, was obedient to God, but the people of Jericho had long ago turned their back on God. Except, of course, for Rahab. They had all heard what God had done for the Hebrew slaves as they came out of Egypt. They had all heard about the Red Sea parting. And when they came across the Red Sea, everybody in Jericho was afraid of God and what was going to happen. But they did not need to be concerned for 40 years, because they crossed from Egypt across the Red Sea up to the Jordan in about 2 or 3 weeks. But when they got there the first time, all but two, Moses, of course, making a third, all but two under Moses rejected the calling. The calling was, you're the favorite of God. You're the people of God. You're going to cross over this Jordan and you're going to take this promised land. And they all rejected the word. They rejected the calling. They rejected being God's favorite. They said, no, we can't do it. And after they had said it 9 times, God says, okay. After 9 times they said, God has brought us out here into the wilderness to die. God said, so be it. Die in the wilderness. Now, why is that relevant to something that happened thousands of years ago? Because every day we get to make the same choice. We are crossing through this wilderness of sin. Yes, we are under grace, but we are crossing through wilderness of sin. And there is a river of death that tries to engulf every person. And every person has to make the choice. Am I going to live by God's word? Am I going to live as his favorite? Am I going to accept the calling and live as his favorite? Am I going to reject it and move out to that favorite position? When we are God's favorite, when we continue to be God's favorite, all his blessings continue to be manifested in our lives through our faith and through our actions, because faith requires action. But when we stop growing in God's word, When we stop speaking God's word, when we stop doing God's word, then we have come to a halt. Either we think we have arrived, or we think it's too hard, or we have enough of God, or the promises have become so wonderful we can't believe them. So we stop. So most believers come to a stop. When enough of them stop around a given set of points, they call that a church. Actually, they call it a denomination. But the church is supposed to keep growing. The church is supposed to become more and more favored in the things of God. And the church is a collection of the people. So the church becomes more and more Christ-like, more and more doing God's commandments. Then obviously the people are doing it also. So we get to choose if we're going to be God's favorite or not by continuing in the word. John 8, 31 and 32. John 8, 31 and 32 puts it this way. Jesus is saying, there are two kinds of Christians, two kinds of believers. He's saying, I'm just quoting it. John 8, 31 and 32. John 8, 31. Jesus said unto those Jews that believed, so he's speaking to believers. He said to believers, first of all, they're all believers, referring to all the body of believers. Jesus said to those Jews that believe, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciple. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So there are two kinds of believers. General, everyday believer who's born again and going to heaven. And believers who are continuing in the word. They're choosing to continue in the word. They're choosing to draw closer to God. They're choosing to remain as favorites. And the ones who get set free are the disciples. Want to make sure you get that. Listen carefully. Jesus said to those Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciple. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So there are two kinds of believers. Everyday regular believers who go to heaven when they die, and the other ones who get set free. What do they get set free from? Well, Jesus died so we should get set free from everything. You get set free from that in which you continue. If you continue in healing but don't believe in prosperity, you're going to have financial challenges, but you'd probably get your healing. No, we can't say, well, you know, I went through ABC Healing School semesters 1, 2, and 3. It's the greatest teaching on healing I've seen in my entire world. I've learned it all. Now I'm going to stop. That's a recipe for disaster. It says continue. It doesn't say if you continue and complete ABC Healing School semester 1, 2, and 3, you're set for life. Continue means keep going. You keep hearing and you keep doing. You keep seeking, you keep hearing, you keep doing. When you stop seeking, hearing, or doing, you have moved out of being God's favorite. Jesus says, I have come, John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. From the King James. Personally, I like the Message translation. Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it better than you have ever imagined it. And I say very simply, if your life is not better than you have ever imagined it, you haven't been continuing in the word enough. Now, maybe you've been continuing one part. Let me tell you this. Going to church one day a week is not continuing in the word. I say it again. Going to church one day a week is not continuing in the word. That's 1 hour out of 7 times 24. It's not even a tithe. You're continuing in whatever you spend your time in. Now, of course, if you got to make a living and work 8, 10 hours a day, then you continue in God's word by doing all that work as unto the Lord. You can turn that 10 hours a day work into continuing in the word by doing it as unto the Lord. So when the boss tells you something, you treat it as if Jesus is speaking to you. Because you know what? He is. You may not like the boss. You may be like the guy I came up for healing that I talked about. You may not like the way he acts or what he is. But all authority comes from God. And the authority for your healing and for your health and your divine life comes from God. Through authority. Through the flow of authority. And when you reject the authority of your boss, you're rejecting Jesus. That's why it says, work as unto the Lord. Now, of course, if your boss tells you to do something ungodly, you don't have to do it. But as long as you're getting paid for it and it's godly, or at least not ungodly, then you do it. Driving on the freeway, and you get a heavy foot, and you're affirming, in the name of Jesus, I'm patient. In the name of Jesus, I'm patient. In the name of Jesus, I'm patient. And you're doing 80 miles an hour. It doesn't work so good. Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now. No, you can't get something when you're sinning. Sinning blocks your manifestation, or at least it slows it down. So how do we quit sinning? Well, the issue is not so much quitting sinning, because all your sins have been paid for. The issue is, what do you do when you sin? And what you do when you sin is, you confess them. Because they've been washed away. They've been paid for. You are the righteousness of God. All your sins have been paid for. But the Bible, to which we're trying to be obedient, the Bible says, when you sin, 1 John 1:9, you confess them to God. You said, Lord, I did this. It contradicts your word. I agreed to contradict your word, and I'm asking you to help me not to do it again. And I receive the forgiveness which already belongs to me. You're not asking God for forgiveness. Your forgiveness was paid for on the cross 2,000 years ago. You are receiving the forgiveness that was paid for 2,000 years ago. Just like everything you need for life and godliness has already been paid for. All we need to do is learn how to receive it. And we receive it by continuing the word of whatever you want to receive. If you want to receive healing, you continue the word of healing. Most people over the years outside of ABC who come to me for prayer and healing, I can ask them one question. Can you quote me 2 healing scriptures from the Bible? And the answer has been no, 100% of the time. Does that sound like they have been continuing in the word? I mean, if your job is a mechanic, don't you continue in doing mechanic work every day? If you have a professional license, it is required by state law that you do ongoing continuing education. Every year you got to take tests. Am I correct? So if the state is smart enough to know that to continue as a technician, to continue as whatever, you got to have ongoing education, don't you think we should be smart as a state and know that we need to continue in the Word of God? So yes, those who continue in the Word of God have chosen to be God's favorite. Those who choose to stop have chosen not to be God's favorite. He still loves them the same. He still loves them the same. They're still going to heaven. All the promises still belong to them. But they're not getting set free according to the Word of God. You understand me? The Word of God says you won't get set free. The Word of God says if you want to get set free, you continue in the Word. No, there are other things that can help you. You can say, well, I haven't been continuing in the word of prosperity, and my rent is due. I need a miracle. So you go find an anointed man or woman to pray for you so that your rent comes in. And your rent comes in. And it happens 2 or 3 times. But there's a limited number of times that you let your 15-year-old son soil his diapers. After a while, you quit changing your 15-year-old son's diapers. So there's a limited number of times that somebody can pray for you and the miracle comes. Because the Bible says we should start with the milk of the word, go to the meat, and then to the strong meat. And it says strong meat belongs to those who through exercising it, who through doing it, can discern between good and evil. And we all want to know how to discern between good and evil. Person came to ABC and was challenged with brain cancer. Brain cancer. And she did her affirmations and was led by the Lord to do something that's unusual. She received communion 30 times a day for 3 years. She received communion 30 times a day for 3 years. She got a total healing. Total healing. Brain cancer left. She was totally fine for quite a few years. Then she got, this was a long time ago, then she got a letter through the internet saying, you've won this contest. Now today everybody hears that the ears pick up, warning sign goes up. This was a long time ago. She got this thing looked really good. So that she won this contest. She won a lot of money. She had been believing for a lot of money. And this was right on target. Very, very close to the target. She said, this is it. This is God's answer to my prayer. She said, call me, Pastor. The money's coming. I've been praying for this money. It was like $1 million. And it's coming. I've been notified. I've won it. I said, how is that? She tells me. I said, what happens next? She says, I need to send them some personal information and give them some money to cover some tax transfers. I said, I'll tell you what. I don't think that's God. I don't think it's illegitimate. I don't think you should do it. I think you should check it out carefully before you do it. So she called. There's a number. She tried to check it. She called the number. It was kind of, wasn't quite clear. She came back and said, I'm convinced. It's God. It's God. It's God. Lady, I've told you. The Holy Spirit is not pushy. And I try really hard not to be pushy. So I said, I've told you what I think. I've told you what I think you should do. Don't do it. Well, she did. She lost every penny she had. She lost her house. Does God still love her? Yeah. Does God want her blessed? Yes. But there is a point where you need to keep continuing. In her case, one of her challenges was lack of submission. She was never into submitting to authority. Lack of submission is a very terrible thing. People say, well, you know, I'm an individual, you know, I'm a free spirit, I'm a this, I'm a that. That's why I don't show submission. Well, lack of submission is next door to rebellion, which is next door to witchcraft. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So, God loves everybody. His grace is available to everybody. But the process of being His favorite is a step-by-step process. James 4 verse 8 says, draw close to God. Take a step towards God. He takes a step towards you. You can never stop taking that step. You always have to be drawn close to God. Look back up in your life and say, how far have you come in the last 6 months, the last year, the last 5 years? Starting about 8 years ago, we started telling ABC, start putting into place the foundation of the lifestyle that you want when the world gets terrible. And they've been doing it. Most ABCers receive communion at least once a day. When I say most, I'm going to say probably 80 or 90%. More than 50%, I believe, receive communion twice a day. When I was coming back to the Lord after having backslidden a long time ago, after a number of years, the Lord said, I want you to start receiving communion every day. And I said, for how long? He says, until I return. I've been now receiving communion at least once a day for 23 years. 23 years. That's what I mean by taking a step closer. Every day that comes, I've taken communion one day longer than I did the day before. Every day that comes, I'm taking one small step towards God in the area of communion. You see, it is impossible to please God without faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6. It is impossible to please God without faith. What is faith? Faith starts by believing the Bible. It starts by believing it. Faith continues by speaking it and doing it. Faith goes on and continues even more by continuing to do it. It's not enough to say one day, today I believe the Bible. I did two things. That's the end of it. Faith is an ongoing process which never ceases. You're always getting higher and bigger in faith, higher and bigger in knowledge. Look at the world today. Technology abounds. So many things are happening. I can't even keep track of the number of ways you can get television videos streamed across the internet. There's so many sites just providing content across the internet. I don't even know what they all are. You can have a little thumb drive that maybe this big, and it can, not if you use Word, but if you just use a file serving program, you can probably store the entire Library of Congress in a thing this big. All this knowledge is abounding. Well, where is it in the body of Christ? The Bible says knowledge would abound. But God's glory would abound even more. The knowledge of God's word is abounding in these days as never before. The things that believers are learning today far exceed what technology is doing. But you won't know that unless you go looking for it. And you won't go looking for it unless you continue in the word. Jesus talks about in Matthew 24, verse 22, he talks about the days will be terrible, but for the elect's sake, those days will be short. Elect. And then two verses later, in 24, it says, and false Christs and prophets would abound, so much so that even the very elect could be deceived. So we see the elect and the very elect. Again, two types of believers. Believers and disciples. Elect, very elect. Regular believers and favorites. Ones who stop and ones who continue. It's all our choice. All of our choice. Let us turn to a scripture here, which is someplace in the Bible. I'm getting close, okay? New Testament, book of Matthew, Matthew 7, verse 6. If you could all open your Bibles to this one, Matthew 7, verse 6. See, you got two choices. The choice is you can have a life that's more abundant. That is a life that grows into a life that's better than you imagined. Or the devil will steal, kill, and destroy. So two choices. John 10:10. I have come that you might have life more abundantly, but the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So two choices. You know, computers count on two fingers. Right? Computers are binary. They count on two fingers. The biggest number is one. 0 and 1. You want a bigger number? You string some ones together. Well, God has a lot of similarity to that. Everything I've been saying so far this evening has been bipolar. No. Not that kind of bipolar. It has been A or B. Right? A or B. And here again, we're seeing A or B. It's elect versus very elect. Okay. So we're going to start at Matthew 7, verse 6, and then we're going to back up into it again. Matthew 7, verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Now, remember, this is coming from God, who is no respecter of persons. And he's saying, don't cast your beautiful things before dogs and swine. Well, how is it that he's not being a respecter of persons? Because the definition of what is a dog and what is a swine and what is your holy thing is the question of what you do with the word of God. Don't take the word of God, which is a holy thing, your precious pearl, and cast it before somebody who doesn't appreciate the word of God, who doesn't want the word of God, because if you do it, they'll tramp it under their feet, or they'll turn around and go after you and call you a this and a that and a therefore. Are you with me? What makes the definition? The word of God. What determines who's a dog and who is a person with a pearl of great price? The word of God. What you do with the word of God. What makes you an elect versus very elect? What you do with the word of God. What makes you successful versus a failure? What you do with the word of God. What makes you heal versus not heal? What you do with the word of God. There's a man I know. Well, he's in heaven now. And he had come to the point where he had gone 20 years without needing doctors and hospitals. That's what he said. I have no reason to doubt him. And he came to the ABC Healing School a number of years ago, went through it a few times, and then stopped. Going through it is wonderful. Going through it a few times is wonderful. But he stopped. Didn't come to ABC anymore. Never really came to ABC. He came only to the Healing School. Quit coming to the Healing School. If he continues studying the Word of God on his own and improving in healing on his own, that's okay. But if he thought, hey, because I've been through the ABC Healing School, because I've learned all this wonderful stuff I didn't know before, now I got it. Now I don't need any more learning and healing. So I'm stopping. If you thought that, or if you thought, well, I'm going to go to this church, which doesn't know very much about healing, but I'm going to go there because I don't need to learn any more about healing, then he ain't got it. See, your responsibility to learn healing, your responsibility to learn about finances, your responsibility to learn about overcoming, is your responsibility. It's up to you. For the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall into the ditch. Each of us has a responsibility to divide the word of truth for themselves. Now, if you don't do that, if you're relying on your church and your pastor, the teacher, and they don't know much more about healing than you do, or in this case, than you, a whole lot less than this man did. In fact, they made him head over their different healing ministries, a large church, like 10,000 people. They have more ministries than we have people. And so he's put in charge of like their healing rooms ministry and their cleansing stream ministry, because they knew so much about healing and was so good and such a wonderful man, and I love the man dearly. I put him in charge of it. But I think he stopped growing in healing. Maybe he got too busy ministering. Whatever the reason is, he quit growing in healing. You know what happened to him? He died. See? People have this really wrong idea. They think, boy, for somebody to go 20 years without doctors must have tremendous faith. No, 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 no. Did I ever tell you no? No! Who wants, has more faith than you? You believe in a God you've never seen. You believe that God has never seen you, sent his son, that God had a son, which most of the world recoil from. The Muslims think we are crazy because we think God has a son. They think we believe that God came down and had sex with Mary and had a son. That's one of the reasons why they don't like us. So you believe in a God you have never seen. You believe that he had a son, that you don't understand how he did it, that the son loved you so much even though you weren't born yet. He took all your sins somehow. We don't understand how he did it. And he died on the cross. And in dying on the cross, he paid for all your sins. And you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And when you say, Jesus, come into my heart, you go to heaven. Boy, if you can believe all that, I got a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you. I mean, how can you possibly have more faith than that? Faith is not the issue. No place in the Bible does it say, my people perish for lack of faith. It says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. People perish for lack of knowledge. Because when you continue in the word, you get knowledge and you get set free. And when you continue in the word of knowledge, grace is multiplied to you. 2 Peter 1, verses 2 and 3. You continue in the word of knowledge, grace is multiplied. That's what we want, more and more grace. How do you get more grace? Continue in the word. How do you get set free? Continue in the word. At all times, we're taking one step towards God, and God is taking one step towards us. It doesn't have to be a big step. Let me tell you this. None of you here, I think I'm safe in saying this, because I don't think anybody's ahead of me. None of you here are ever going to have a longer streak of receiving communion on a daily basis than me. Because the only way you can have it is to start, be consistent, and then you can't have it because I'm not going to die. I'm going to be here when Jesus returns. Right? So you can never catch me. But you don't need to catch me in anything for the blessings that come to you. The blessings come to you right where you are when you take one step towards God. Everything you need for life and godliness has already been paid for and belongs to you. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing. All we need to do is open the windows of heaven and let it come down. How do we open it? By taking one step at a time. By continuing the word and speaking it and doing it. It is that simple. God loved you and me so much that he wanted you and me to be his favorites. That he loved you and me as much as he loves Jesus. And he made it very simple. Jesus did all the hard work. All we have to do is believe and continue. believe, and continue. Let's take this concept that the favoritism is based on the word. Whether a person be the one in Jericho that got killed or the one outside Jericho who killed them is determined by what you do with the word of God. Therefore, everything we do is based on the word of God. Let me tell you that over the decades that I've ministered, I've seen Christians as a whole, somebody comes up for prayer. They're sick, they want prayer. They come up and say, would you pray for me? And they pray for them. You think that's great? They're praying for them. Well, it's a step towards greatness. A small step. I mean, suppose you went to your doctor and you get a terrible challenge in your body. And this guy comes in because he skinned his elbow. And the doctor looked at both of you and gave you the same prescription. Go home and take an aspirin. Wouldn't you say, what a crack this guy is? This guy has a skinned elbow. This other guy has major challenges inside his body. Another doctor looked at him and says, go take an aspirin. Wouldn't that man be a quack? And yet people come up for prayer from all different walks of life. And people pray for them exactly the same way. What does the word of God say? Well, you all know it. See, once you're born into the family of God, you have rights. If you're not born into the family of God, you have no rights from God, except the right to be saved. Unless you're a Jew, and then you have the Abrahamic covenant, which is kind of hard to live by since there's no temple. You can have Yom Kippur, but there's no temple. So basically, if the person is a believer, they have rights. So because they have the right for healing, healing has been paid for, you pray for them as a person who has rights. And what does the Bible say? If the believer comes up and asks for prayer, you anoint them with oil. James 5, verses 14 and 15. Is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray for them, anointing them with oil. How many churches have I gone to over the last many decades? And no matter who comes up, they anoint them with oil. And they anoint the same person with oil every week for 10 years. That's all unscriptural. First thing you say is, are you a believer? No? Well, listen, man. Forget about the sickness and disease in your body. What you need to do is get saved. And you know what? You get saved, the sickness and disease will go. Get the person saved. And the person says, well, I don't really know if I'm ready to be saved yet. I don't really know if I believe in God. You could say, well, why are you standing up here wanting prayer from God if you don't believe in him? But we'd be nice, so we say, okay, I'll show you how God deals with people who don't know. I'm going to lay my hands on you, and when I lay my hands on you, you're going to be healed automatically, and then you know that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you accept him. Fair enough? Fair enough? So you lay hands on them, they get instantly healed. Because the easiest, fastest healing is for somebody who does not know the truth. That's why they call signs and wonders. Signs and wonders are not for believers. Believers are not lost. They who knew their saviors, they knew what is their lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path. They know where they're going. If they don't know where they're going, it's because they're not studying the Bible. They don't need signs and wonders. So the way you minister to unbelievers is with signs and wonders. When I was at MGM Studios, I was the director of technology. Was there for about 3.5 years. I had a full-time staff, not counting consultants, and part-time, of 53 people. Without ministering, without initiating ministry during working hours, when I left, these people were from all over the world. I mean, name it, I had them. I had working for me, Jews, Muslims, Sikhs, Hindus. I mean, it was a mishmash. They all had one thing in common. They were all good-looking people. Did not have one ugly person working with me. No, I inherited almost all of them. I didn't hire them, okay? I mean, it must have been a law or in the movie studios, ugly people not welcome. I don't know how I got in there. Must have been the glory of God on me, okay? Anyway, they all accepted Jesus. How is that? Because what a place to go minister. They're all heathens. They don't know anything. So, first one, I'm working, and this lady says, Muslim lady, says she was in charge of all the computer centers for me. And she said, boss, I need to take off 2 weeks. I said, how come? I said, it's a bad time. How come? She said, my daughter has been kidnapped, was kidnapped about 2 weeks ago. Police can't find her. And I got a tip or rumor that the gang that kidnapped her is up by the California-Oregon border. That's where they come from. I'm going to go up there and see if I can find her. Can I take 2 weeks off? I said, well, okay, of course you can take 2 weeks off, but I need you desperately, so you got to call me every single day. So every single day she called him. And every day she sounded worse and worse. About the fourth or the fifth day, I don't remember. She sounded so terrible. I said, listen, I can get your daughter back. She said, you can? I said, yes. I can pray and your daughter will come back. She said, do it. I said, but understand, I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus Christ to show you that Jesus is the Son of God. She said, do it. I said, okay. I prayed in the name of Jesus. Next day, she had her daughter back. Okay? Why? It's called a sign and a wonder. All you got to do is tell them in advance. You can't tell them afterwards. Oh, I'm going to pray for them. And when it comes through, I'm going to tell them, I prayed that this happened. Don't work that way. You tell them in advance, but they have to qualify by needing a sign and a wonder. In other words, they have to really have a lack of knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. The worst person to try a sign and wonder with is somebody who's been in church for 20 years and know nothing about healing. You know, living in a garage for 20 years doesn't make you a car. Going to church for 20 years doesn't make you a Christian. Sitting on a healing ministry for 20 years doesn't make you any more knowledgeable about healing. Knowledge of healing comes through hearing and doing, just like everything else. Hear and do. Hear and do. So, you have to differentiate when you pray for people. If it's an unbeliever, it's signs and wonders. If a believer, then they have rights, and then you pray according to those rights. If it's a new believer, you anoint them with oil. If it's an older believer, you agree with them. If you operate in the gifts of the Spirit, with believers there, you can lay hands on them. But you do it according to their rights. I think we have been brought up in the world. Most of us had a mother and father. And they brought us up as best as they knew, for most of us, in the ways of the world. And the things they instill in us are the ways of the world. Much of what we know is not godly. Much of how we used to behave is not godly. So, for example, if you're like me, you grew up thinking, if I go to school, I get a good education. If I get A's in pre-K, I go on to K, right? And then I get A's, I go on to grade one, and then I get A's, I go on to grade two, and move all the way up, and finally one day, I finish high school. And then if I'm really ambitious, I go on to college. But eventually, at some point, I learn something, and there's some dummy out there who's willing to pay me for it. Right? So we get a job. And we've been taught, put all this work into the education to learn a skill, to learn something. Is that what the Bible says? The Bible says, blessed is the man who does not stand in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In this law, he shall meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the banks of a river, and everything that he does shall prosper. Everything he does. Such as what? Such as meditating the word of God and healing. Such as speaking the word of healing. And then healing comes. Same thing with finances. One of the things that's very subtle that we learn through this process of mammon is the following. Life should be peaceful. Let's focus on healing. Life should be peaceful with no problems. When a problem comes, that's wrong. So you run off to the doctor, and the doctor fixes the problem as fast as he can, and you go back out to the same life you had before. We get into us this concept that life should be free of medical challenges. When it comes, the doctor fixes it, and you go back to the same life you have. That's all really unscriptural. Jesus said, in this world you have tribulation. The devil is always here to steal, kill, and destroy. You're always being attacked. And we are always being attacked in our health. The challenge is not, are you being bombarded with thoughts of sin? The challenge is, are you accepting the thoughts of sin and sinning? Are you being bombarded with charge of sickness and disease? That's not the challenge. The challenge is, are you accepting it and believing it? Are you letting the doctor speak curses over you and you don't break those curses? These are some of the challenges. And then, we don't run in to get our healing and go back to the same lifestyle. That's not scriptural. Scriptural is you draw closer to God. Drawing closer to God means your lifestyle is always changing. And you're always changing towards God. And you're always changing towards things which are just, lovely, and pure. Things of good report. If they be virtue, if they be praise. These are the things we think about, and these are the things we move towards. So that's how we do it. One step at a time. Knowing every time you take a step forward, all of God's blessing is available to you through grace. But you always have to be taking one step at a time. And you lay foundations. So as you look back 3 months ago, 6 months ago, 5 years ago, you're in a different place. Today you should know more scripture than you did 5 years ago. Today you should understand more of the Bible. Today you should be going to church more than once a week. Today you should be going to a church that teaches healing, that teaches end times, that teaches the things you need to know. I mean, why would you want healing and go to a church that doesn't believe in healing? You know, this lady came to me once. The doctor opened her up. They're going to do cancer removal. Open her up, close her back up and says, forget it. Nothing we can do. You got 3 months to live. That's when her sister brought her. We taught her what to do and she got her healing. After she got the total manifestation, and within the same 3 months, the same doctor said, this is a miracle. Totally free of disease. Totally full of healing. I told her, you cannot go back to the church that you were going when you got sick. Now, in those days, this is a long time ago, I didn't have the boldness today. Maybe I still don't. What I should have said is, if you do, you'll die. It's been amazing how many of these, I mean, as I'm talking about, others pop into mind, exactly the same scenario. So, she says, but I can't leave the church. All my friends are there. That church does not even believe in God the way we do. They believe that God is like a diffused spirit. So she went back. About 3 years later, she died. And not from cancer. She died from something else. Another one, I was asked by your mother to go to the hospital to pray for her. That lady over there, her mother had a personal trainer. The personal trainer would come to her home every day to work out with her. And the personal trainer's, I don't know if it's the personal trainer or the personal trainer's mother, whichever one it was in the hospital and expected to die within 5 days. And so your mother asked me to go pray. I went to the hospital, I prayed, laid hands on her, the glory of God flooded her, and I said, in 5 days, you'll be in your home. When you get in your home, call me. She did. She called me, I went to her home. I said, you're totally healed? She said, yes. I said, no, here's what I came to tell you. You must read the Bible every day. See, for you and me, that's no big deal. If that's a big deal for you, go fast for a week. So read the Bible every day. She says, I can't do that. Why can't you do that? She says, because my husband is a Catholic and he won't let me read the Bible. I understand this is like a few decades ago. So I looked at her and I said, what do I say next? And the words came out. Does your husband go to church? No, he doesn't go to church. So your husband is a Catholic, but he doesn't go to church, but he won't let you read the Bible. He gets furious. She said, yes. I said, okay. Here's what I'm telling you before I leave. Read the Bible every day. She didn't. She died in a couple years. You want to be God's favorite? Do it God's way. Continue the word. Set you free from every challenge of life. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.